Many Canadians live in food deserts and don't have access to healthy, reasonably priced groceries. Some of those same people are what's called unbanked. They don't have access to simple bank account. So it would follow that many Canadians don't have access to financial advice. And this is one of the issues that fires up our next guest. Philip Berard is founder and CEO of Mylo, an automated saving and investing app. Hello there, Philip.
Hey there.
How would you characterize the issue of access to financial advice? Who are you talking about and what don't they have access to? And why do you think that is? Who, what, and why?
Absolutely. I'd be talking about majority of Canadians. If you take a look at Canadian millennials today, 53% of them have less than $1,000 in the bank account, regardless of how much they make from their annual income. Today, they don't feel like they have the right tools, the right access to financial advice. The tools that our parents were using were based off of a banking infrastructure that there's a growing distrust of, mainly because they feel like there's a conflict of interest today. And now millennials are moving to things like online digital advice. And when you move to the online digital advice space, there's just so much to be able to see and read and know and be able to do. A lot of great material out there, but you don't know which one's most relevant for you. So people are looking for personalized digital advice, and they don't know where to get that today. Mm.
You run an online platform, helps people save and invest. The big thing when we first talked a couple years ago was the roundup feature. So you round up purchases, and that's a great way for people to save in an easy way. What are some of the opportunities of the world of online and the limitations of the world of online when it comes to access?
Absolutely. So, I mean, part of what we do is we're agnostic and we sit on top of your existing bank account. So we don't actually have you change from an RBC account to a TD account or anything like that. But in any case, we work with you in your existing life. So one of the benefits of digital is a way to integrate to your everyday life without a major change in what you have to do or a major change in habits. That's one of the things that's made it so successful, and we've been able to onboard close to 500,000 Canadians onto the saving and investing platform in the last 2 years. Now, one of the difficulties is there's so much that you have to go and do and trust. So there's still a little bit of research that you have to be able to do in order to make sure that you're signing up for the right tool, the right platform. And typically what we see millennials doing today is more about word of mouth. So people will ask their peer group, what tools are you using? How are you getting this done? Which is a new way for us to be doing that.
You have this advisor function that lives in the land of chat. So you sign up and you can communicate with an individual in a chat function. What kind of issues would a consumer be talking about with that advisor?
So people are asking everyday financial questions to the advisor. They're asking, how much house can I afford? Should I buy? Should I lease a car? How do I set up a basic budget? Essentially, anything that they typically turn to Google to find out. But this, in this case, is actually personalized to their financial situation based off of the financial profile that they've built with Mylo. So rather than having to go and search through thousands of search results, they can actually talk to a real-life human that's certified in a bite-sized way that they do for the same messaging type platform that you use to communicate with everyone and you do in your everyday life. So they can send a message, go through a direct messaging platform, and get real personalized advice directly for themselves.
What are some of the limitations of this chat functionality? Sometimes it takes a long time to get to the root of someone's money issue. I spent an hour on the phone with a listener on a whole litany of questions. It took that long to get to the real issue. Do you think chat can really address this?
So absolutely. I mean, there's a few things here. One is making sure you're asking the right questions. And that's why we use the highest qualified certified financial planners on their other end, make sure that they're asking the right things to be able to get the direct root of the questions that are being asked. The second part is sometimes there are certain questions are just outside of the scope of bite-sized, personalized financial advice. And at that point, you want a trusted advisor to be able to push you in the right direction for where should you be looking to get this personalized advice. So estate planning, you might be able to answer some one-off questions and get a good sense of it, but you might want to put together a comprehensive financial plan that you don't know where to look. Our advisors would be able to help you and point you in the right direction for someone that you can trust.
And do you have affiliate relationships with those other service providers? Is that one of the ways in which you can make money?
No, today Advisor is a subscription-based product. We're currently in the testing phase of this product, so we're testing a price point of about $5 per month. And it's, for the price of $5 per month, you can ask a limited amount of questions directly to the advisor directly through that that relationship.
How do you expect to be able to pay your rent at $5? I mean, you think about an advisor who might spend, let's say they spend, you know, 5 minutes responding to your text, and you ask, 12 of those over the course of a year, that's an hour. An hour's time for a professional is, you know, $200 to $300.
Absolutely. So we're putting in together a place with all the transactional data and financial profiles that we have to be able to optimize for those types of responses. So where it may take a traditional planner more time to be able to answer these questions, you can get the same level of response with the information that we have, because we're cutting out some of the leeway to be able to get up and running for those. So we're using technology to assist the human advisor to be able to optimize their time and pass along those benefits to you.
So let's bring this back to the question of access. I mean, the issues are significant. Language barriers are challenging. Even people's ability to connect to the internet is not the same. People don't necessarily have a phone. What are some of the bigger, broader systemic issues on access that, as great as your app may be, it is unable to address?
Absolutely. So, I mean, as we're starting to take a look at international expansion, there's a certain segment that our app works really well in, right? So someone who is underbanked may work well with an app like Milo, but someone who is completely unbanked, meaning they don't have a bank account, well, then they're going to need to have the fundamental access to those types of products in order to be able to use products like Milo to get up and running. So that's where you see the Challenger Bank and Neo banks that are happening, the N26 and Revoluts of the world, and especially in the UK, starting to address this. How do you take on some of these serious access issues and be able to provide a mobile-first banking platform that allows people to be able to do things like go into retailers, to be able to do banking transactions and do other banking transactions directly on your mobile device? We're seeing fintech move forward. It's one of the things that we're really excited about.
How do you temper your expectations for different demographics? I mentioned language. The other demographic that I think this could be tough for are seniors who don't have facility with technology. And I'm not going to stereotype. There's lots of 85-year-olds who can totally rock the iPad and, you know, build their own websites. But there are a lot of people who didn't grow up with that technology who aren't nearly as comfortable, who simply aren't going to be able to engage in an electronic way.
Absolutely. We actually have a lot of 85-year-olds on our platform, so I'm really excited to see that. And our customer support team actually takes an extra effort, schedules phone calls outside of the chat messaging platform that we typically work with most of our customers. So we do have some edge cases because we believe the Milo should be inclusive for everyone. The other part is actually looking at the other end of the spectrum, minimum age. Because these are investment accounts that we're opening up, you actually have to be 18 years old and actually to be able to open up these investment accounts. So we're looking at ways to be able to open up joint accounts with parents or be able to access the right savings products that we can actually lower that age, get more people on our platform. We have a lot more people trying to lie about their age to be old enough to be on the platform than not necessarily having access for being too old. So that's one of the things that we're looking at today. And the second part is, how do we build products like Advisor to be able to span across the whole demographic? So those are the two ways that we're looking at today.
You mentioned the relationship that Milo needs to have with an individual's bank account. How do your relationships as a company work with the big banks? Because in some parts of the market, they're doing innovative things. And in other parts, they're really not. They're perfectly happy to accept the fees that come with a legacy business.
Absolutely. So, I mean, we're very complimentary to banks. I mean, we use some banks as our suppliers. We are suppliers to some banks, as well as we just closed a Series A financing with National Bank and Desjardins, who put in $10 million into this round. So we see banks starting to collaborate more and more fintechs. It's no longer the fintechs versus the banks, but how can fintech enable these incumbents with the right technology and the right relationships to the users to help move that conversation forward? So we're seeing a lot of interest interesting things, and we're hoping that we can surface some of that in our new products that we're bringing to market.
I referenced Mylo as an automated saving and investing app. How would you correct that phrase or say it differently so that consumers know what Mylo actually does?
I think everybody has a dream, right? And whether it be moving out of their parents' house, getting married, having kids, planning a dream wedding, and Mylo helps you get there. So at the end of the day, Mylo helps you achieve your life goals, and we do so through saving and investing. So today, we round up your purchases and invest for a change. Also, tomorrow, you know, we're launching the advisor product to our entire platform to be able to give bite-sized, personalized advice. But one day, we'll be able to help you along the whole journey to be able to achieve those life goals.
Philip, thanks for joining us today.
No, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Philip Brar, founder and CEO of Mylo.